You're listening to the Westside Podcast, a part of the LA International Church of Christ family of churches, worshiping God in LA since 1989.
As a fellowship, over 30 years ago, we took Jesus's calling and mission that he gave, we could call it the Great Commission, and we took it to heart. And in that message from Matthew 28, he said, "Go and make disciples of all nations." And we believe that's a calling for each disciple to fulfill. You know, as individuals and as a collective group, we came up with a plan to get churches all over the world, to plant disciples and disciple-making churches all over the world. And as a Westside church, we agreed as part of the organized plan that we would take a part in the evangelization of the Middle East, that part of the world that desperately needed the gospel. We agreed to be a part of sending missionaries, sending people, and sending finances to help support it. And Westside, you have done that for over 30 years. Amen. Each year we try to give an update to the congregation of the mission work in that part of the world that we have been supporting. And today we have the privilege of hearing from the couple that gets to oversee all the work in the different churches in the Middle East. They currently are in Beirut, Lebanon. I give you today an amazing couple going to share stories. You know them already. They're awesome. They're great friends of the family here, personal friends. Let's welcome Mufid and Jesse.
Good morning, Westside. It's good to be with you. We've been here last year. It's an honor to be together. Just like Steve said, my name is Mufid. My lovely wife, Jessie, please.
Hello, I'm Jessie, and I'm so happy to be with you. I could see a lot of new faces, and this is so encouraging, guys. I'm so happy, and I'm happy also to meet the old faces also, old friends. So this is the church, and I can't wait to share with you what God is being teaching us in the Middle East as a woman living in this place of the world.
So I told Marshall I need to have my laptop here. You know, the challenges of age. The screen is a bit far, so I'm so sorry. First of all, we're so grateful just being able to be with you and to know that each one of you sacrificed a lot for the Middle East. You know, we took a decision to come here last minute 2 days ago, because our country is in war just now. So being able to leave, knowing what's going on, knowing that it might escalate in any time, our children, our church, and just being there and being so far, it's not an easy flight to go back, like about 20 hours. So it's amazing to be able to come and be honored to speak with you, brothers and sisters. I'm so grateful for the time you pray for us. And actually, we prayed 2 weeks ago on Zoom, get to meet all of you. And it was so encouraging for the disciples out there. And we're so grateful for all these many years of financial sacrifice that we will be sharing some of the good news, some of the challenges that we've been facing in the region, but also the encouraging news of the kingdom and seeing so many disciples being there. So I'm going to show you, there's the first slide, the map. I don't know if we can start with the first, yeah, you can see it. So this is, if you like geography, so I wanted to show you, this is the Middle East region where we oversee. We can say this is the Arabic-speaking churches in the Middle East. That's why it's Middle East, it's the Gulf, and part of North Africa. When we say North Africa, all these countries speak Arabic. So actually, it's the Arabic-speaking churches. Those countries with the red, we still don't have a church there. All the churches with all the green colors, we have churches there. Even though some of them, it's 2 or 3 or 5 disciples, but for us, 1 disciple is a church. So let's believe that. But it's hard. I don't know how much you know about the region, the background of the region, and the challenges to be able to share about Christ in the region out there. But God has been really faithful, helping us to really grow as churches year by year with all what's going on. So I just wanted to share a bit here with you. And then, you know, I Steve told me that that you guys have been studying the book of John from the beginning of the year. And it's amazing to focus on Jesus, not on me, you, and us, and to be able to highlight Jesus in everything we do. That's why the title today, He Must Increase in So Many Ways. The church in Lebanon last year, we went through the parables of Jesus. This year, we started with the book of Acts. And it's been amazing to see the first century church being able to live it day by day and connect to the first century church. So today, actually, we will be speaking from the second part or the last part of John 3 and the first verses from John 4 to be able to continue what you guys have been studying about John. So since the scriptures talks about baptisms, and it starts like this, so that's great news because we have a lot of them and we will be able to share this with you. So just be starting in verse 22. After this, Jesus and his disciples went out into the Judean countryside where he spent some time with them and baptized. Now John also was baptizing and at Anon near Salim because there was plenty of water and people were coming and being baptized. This was before John was put into prison. I like the way John, you know, preaches and think. He goes, let me go and share my faith where there's a lot of water. You know, that's a very good tactic to think about. Like, you know, we're having now youth deep roots or Bible studies classes. And we were able, one of the brothers have a hotel. So he said, can you use it? And there's a small swimming pool there. So can we do the classes just near the swimming pool? So when you're done, you just immediately baptize them. So I'm thinking, wow, that's the new version. But to see the message of John the Baptist preparing the way for Jesus, baptizing the baptism of repentance and preparing people for who's coming, Jesus. And to be able to see also Jesus coming in, the first thing he does, John, can you baptize me? And we will talk more about this point, but it's amazing how Jesus' message and John's message completed each other. He didn't come, thank you, John, you can go to retirement now. It's, I am now taking the control. He didn't say this. He said, you know what? Let's continue what you've been doing. And it's amazing. And you can still baptize. I can still baptize. We can still all convert people, you know, and that's amazing. So we will be sharing with you some incredible good news with my wife. And there's a video that the brothers prepare, their brothers and sisters. So we'll be sharing this video with you.
I want to tell you a secret. I'm 53 years old. And I wish that for the last 24 years, every time I share about the war in the Middle East. And I don't know when this is going to happen and it's going to end. Maybe in heaven. But you know what? The first thing it came to my mind that I don't want to always share about the war in the Middle East. And I don't want you guys to always remember when you talk and you pray about the Middle East, just the war. We want you to remember that with our contribution, we are saving people in the Middle East. I want you to see, like, people are growing. Young generation are leading churches. Our kids are becoming disciples. Like, we can make a difference in the Middle East, not just the war. Because here, John, like he said, before John was put in prison. Like, it was just before John was to put in prison. And Jesus was baptizing, even though he knew that he's going to the cross. Yeah, we know that we have a war, and we know that we're going to die. But in the meantime, what we're going to do?
Baptize
poor me? Please, poor me. I've been all my life in the war. This is what we're going to do since we have a short time here on earth. That's why we decided as the Middle East to be the voice for people, to point them to Christ. I want to show you a little video like we did, and then I can share more.
Their audio?
Yes. War, poverty, and illness create immense challenges. But amidst the hardship, there's a story of hope and growth. The story of the church in the Middle East. God has been working miraculously in the region, strengthening the faith of the disciples. Over the past year, there has been a growth of 117 baptisms in total. Recognizing the importance of family in the Middle East, churches have provided marriage lessons and retreats to couples, equipping them to build strong and healthy households, which become the building blocks of a strong church family. Churches are also going beyond spiritual growth and addressing mental health needs. Church members from across the Middle East are taking mental health online courses that combine science and faith to strengthen their minds and better serve their communities. In Lebanon, the Ministry of Special Needs Families is flourishing. Through retreats and workshops, parents are finding support, encouragement, and a welcoming environment, thus drawing them closer to Christ. They've even partnered with Hope Worldwide Lebanon through a knitting program to empower women and support special needs families financially. Deep Roots Bible study classes are drawing visitors and friends to the church, helping them learn about God's Word and become disciples of Christ. This successful program is being adopted by other churches in the region. South Sudan faces unique challenges, from the war in the north to poverty, malnutrition, and diseases. But even here, the church is flourishing. With the help of Sami and Fadia, leaders from Jordan, the church has seen tremendous growth. With over 200 new visitors in just the first 3 days of a new church plant. The Kids Kingdom ministry is also thriving, bringing joy to children despite the educational challenges. The Sunday service is always a vibrant celebration of faith. The church plans to launch an agricultural program to improve the community's well-being and help with the low-income crisis. They are also hoping to provide educational support and an audio Bible in Sudanese to help combat the illiteracy rate and spread the good news. The thirst for God is evident in South Sudan and the rest of the region. Despite the pressure and uncertainty, He is still working. Keep the Church of the Middle East and North Africa region in your prayers.
That's what we want you to remember. And if you think about it, Sami and Fadia, they've been 30 years serving in the ministry. And honestly, it was so challenging. Like, you know, I'm sure many people here know that when their plane wanted to...
Land.
I'm sorry for my English. It landed on sand. And it was so, it's dangerous. And I ask myself, what led Sami and Fadia after all those years wanted to do that? Even like get disease, staying days without food, electricity, even water. It's because we have a mission. And we know we have a little time. And I wanted to share with you that what's going on in Lebanon. Since you know that I have my own show on TV and people knows me as a marriage counselor. And the last year we said, like, listen, now I believe we are in the end of days. I'm sure you know that. And what can we do to really spread the good news for everybody here? So we decided to do our own study, the Deep Roots, online, live through Facebook. And everybody in the Middle East, you know, we are in a Muslim country. And all of them were watching our studies. Because we said, like, we have nothing to lose. Persecution, we don't care. We're already dying. So what we have to lose, we need to spread the good news live on TV. So what happened after this class, you can't imagine how many people were watching, even Muslim people. They were watching and they got impacted. And now we have many baptisms through this class. And we look at the youth, and the youth were encouraged, you know, like, we want to do something like that. We said, okay, we have a guy, he's young, he's youth, and he used his platform on Instagram to invite his friend to do Deep Roots. And we didn't know what's going on after this, but we realized that we had more than 100 youth wanted to study the Bible. So we said, what we're going to do? 100 people now. What we're going to do? So we said, let's meet all together in a hotel where this guy gave us the hotel for free, like Mufid shared. So we're going to meet there, and we're going to do meet and greet. And all the youth, we did a portfolio for them. Like, she's a speech therapist, but a youth leader. So we highlight their profession, that who's the people they're going to give them the lesson. And we were waiting there, fasting and praying, and people start coming and coming and coming. And we didn't realize what's going on. We could see God moving the heart of people. And we did two classes after we meet all together, one for men and one for women. And they started this last week on Zoom and live. And you should see how many people are studying the Bible. 70 people are studying the Bible now. And they are all educated, sharp people, but they are seeking God with all their hearts. So I wanted to share our good news with you, and I ask you to keep on praying. Other than what you saw in the video about Sudan, God is opening door like crazy. They had 370 kids in the kids' kingdom. 370! Like when we watch how we're gonna teach those kids? But you should see how happy they were just to share with them a small message and small snack with them. It make a big difference. Yeah. So what we want to share with you, that God, your labor is not in vain. People are really serving God in the Middle East, and God is using you and us to make a difference in those lives.
Amen. Thank you, Jesse. This is, brothers and sisters, where your sacrifice, your contribution, what you're giving, it's going there. It's saving people's soul. It's saving families. And it's really amazing. Last year, Sammy and Fadia, they did this class for a church in South Sudan. About 160 people. And in 2 months, they baptized 68 people. We have a church planted there now. And God is really opening these doors. By the way, the owner of this hotel, his name is Alfred. He just finished the studies. And he's waiting for me to go back and baptize him. So please be praying for him. He said to me, now you have not only a church, you have a hotel. So God is, it's amazing this hotel is 4 stars. He didn't open it. He will open it in 2 weeks, and he gave it to us to use it and do classes for the singles in campus. And he still haven't actually opened the hotel. So this is at heart. He said, nothing I own. It's all for God. And this is amazing. So going back to the scriptures and John 3, what's amazing about Jesus is he approves John's work. He didn't come against it. He goes, John was actually speaking about the kingdom of God. He goes, repent because the kingdom of God is near. So Jesus comes and said, no, John, let me correct it. He didn't say this. He said, no, yes. Repent because the kingdom of God is near. And I love this about the unity between John and Jesus. How much we need this, and how much Satan works so much to break this. How much like we highlight each other, we bless each other, and we continue the mission together. That's what Jesus did, and the mission continued. Even though John the Baptist went to prison, he was killed. But you know what? You can read through Acts and you see disciples who have been touched by John the Baptist's message and baptism for many years ahead. And this is amazing. I'm going through the verses in John 3 and trying to learn, as brothers and sisters, some insights, some tips that personally we need to think about and really take it into heart. So if we continue in verse 25-26, then there arose a dispute between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him. Are you surprised that Satan pops up immediately? He goes, okay, John is baptizing, Jesus is baptizing, what's going on? I need to bring some disunity in here. I need to find a way to break this success. And actually, that's what always Satan provides. When he see unity, when he see blessings, when he see a church flourishing, when he see people coming to Jesus, coming to God, he brings this dispute, this gossip in there. And that's what happened. Imagine the Jews, like, okay, what's going on? They just whispered. This guy you just baptized, his church is growing more than your church. He's taking your people. You see, you're always talking about him. You hold him up. You testified about him. You baptized him, and he's so important. And now look what's going on. And what happened? The disciples goes to John. John, what's going on? Rabbi, what's going on? Look, Jesus is taking our people. Is that Satan, huh? It happens to you, brothers and sisters. It happens a lot. It's so challenging. It happens to us as evangelists, as leaders, as churches. Look at them, they are growing more. Really? Thank God they are growing more. At least they are not against us, they are for Christ. That's what Paul said. And so many times we allow this. Brothers and sisters, how much we should really know the voice that is speaking to us. And ask one question. Is this from God or is it from Satan? Thank God for John the Baptist. He was so spiritual and he noticed this voice, where it's coming from. That's why he goes in the scripture. So I love his reaction. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourself bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. Don't you love this attitude? Don't you love? He even didn't talk about the growth and the baptism. He even didn't bother wasting his energy and time about what they are talking about and all this dispute of all the things that the Jews brought to him. He just changed the subject. He said, listen guys, this is amazing. It didn't bother John at all. And honestly, looking through these verses, I really want to highlight four main points that we can learn from John the Baptist's attitude, spirituality, and maturity. And these points are, you know, it's all from God. He said, guys, it's from God. It's given to me this, given to him this. He knew himself. He knew his size. He knew his influence. He knew his gift. What a blessing to know yourself. He must increase. I must decrease. He is, or actually I am, the best man. I am not the groom. I'm still the best man. And it's important to know and to be able to really understand this. You know, if we want to go a bit deeper in this and try to really understand it, it's all from God. So what we're giving a lot. Each one of us, the Bible says, have gifts. The Holy Spirit have given gifts to anyone, to each one of us. It's amazing to be able to figure out, God, what is the gift? To know my role, to know that it's giving from him. It's everything given from him. You know, we should receive what God has given us in a joyful way. Thank you first, at least you opened my eyes. You saved my soul. How much we pray every day. Thank you that you saved me. Is that enough? How many times you wake up every day and you go, thank you that I just woke up today. So many times people don't. You know how much we are grateful of what we have been given and known what we have been given, because it's from God. And every one of us, just like Paul said, the church is a body. Every member have a different role which is given to him. That's why so many times us as preachers or leaders, or I like to say servants, that's my favorite title. You know, we feel like, you should hear me. It's about, you know, I'm from the Middle East. I have been serving for many years. We feel like people owe us to hear us or to, you know, it's not about me. If I leave this place and I'm highlighted more than Jesus, then there's something wrong. I failed. And so many times, we just want people to hear us. We have high expectation. They should listen to us. And we forget that it's all given from God. You know, In 2017, me and my wife and my children, we went to the church in Egypt. And we're so blessed. God have given us a lot of gifts to be able to use it. That's called humility. And so we went to the church there. And we wanted to help in the church there. The church where there was 120 disciples. And because of all the gifts that God have given us, we've been working there and sharing and training. And then we had to come back. And you know what? It's amazing. We're so grateful what God have given us. We went back and the church shrank to 80. It was 120. We came back, the church became 80. But you know what? We're still joyful. We're still grateful what God have used in our life. So many times it is like, the church shrinked? Yes. But you know what? God knows what's better. We came back, our children was touched. They changed their life. They became disciples just after this trip. But how much we are grateful when we are just successful and we're not when we are not. But God uses it in so many different ways. You know what? It's all about Him and it's given from Him. He knew who He was and who He wasn't. Jesse.
Yes, I love the attitude of John and Jesus. And you know what, sisters, as mothers, I know the mother, we celebrate the Mother Day soon. And I think Jesus and John, they learned this from their mothers. Like, if you see the humility of Mary and Elizabeth, and the same thing we can see in John and Jesus, because our kids imitate our behavior more than what we talk. And I love about, John, that one thing, John, he knew that. He knew who he is. And usually we are living in an age where we have a crisis, identity crisis, right? We don't know who we are. I want to ask you, if I want you to write about yourself, I am what? I am ugly. I am worthless. I am fat. I am what? I am lonely. What do you share about yourself when I ask you who you are? Or, I am a doctor. I am the CEO. How we introduce ourselves, it makes a big difference. Pride is the killer of humanity. Satan, because of pride, start the sin on earth. Families are destroyed because of pride. Friendship are destroyed because of pride. Churches are divided because of pride. Marriages are divorced because of pride. Pride is something where when it enters the human, eventually it will destroy everything. So how can we fight pride? And John, I love about John that he preached what he believed. When he said that no one can take anything unless God is giving to him, he believed it. That's why he was so secure when they told him about Jesus' baptism. And if I want to tell you something about John the Baptist, the I am. John the Baptist, he knew that I am John the Baptist. I am not the Lamb of God. I am just Yitame. I am not the other person. I know who I am. I am the voice of God, but I am not the Word of God. Many times we mix things. I am the best man. And many times when we got invited to a wedding, we start being jealous. She's getting married and I'm not. Look at her wedding. No. And he was so happy because he said, I am the best man, but I am not the groom. I am chosen by God, but I am not God. He knew his identity. We confuse things. And that's why when John knew his identity, he said, I must decrease and he must increase. And when we look at Jesus now, Jesus knew who he is, right? Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the true vine. But the more characteristic of Jesus is he said, I am the love. And I am the humility. And that's why when he got baptized from John, why he got baptized from John? I'm not going to go into theology. I will share my thought of it, that he was baptized to affirm John's teaching and what God is giving to John. And I asked myself, why Jesus, he didn't baptize many people? Right. Also to affirm the leadership of the people. So when I look at this and I see Jesus knew his role and he was so secure with his role, that's why he said, I must decrease and John must increase, when he decided to be baptized from John the Baptist. So when I share about marriages, I said, if you want your marriage to succeed, you need to have a servant mindset, where two servants are serving each other. When you have this mindset, you can have a great marriage. If you want to have a great church, you need to have a great servant people. When we want to look at the young generation when they are leading, if the young generation, when they look at the old generation like us and said, we must decrease and they must increase. And we as an older people, when we look at them and we said, we must decrease and they must increase. Nice. Imagine how the church will be doing. Imagine how our family will be doing. And one thing, if we look around us, the statistics said, it happened in the U.S., more than the last 20 years, 50% of the believers who attended churches lost their faith. You know that. You see around you. More than 20 million Christians stop attending churches. And we ask why? Because when they look around them, they don't see the love and they don't see the humility. And we wanted to imitate people. We wanted to imitate the world. And we asked the world to come to our churches instead of we as a church change the world with our love and humility. And we said about the role, the identity, all this. And Jesus was very clear, very clear. As a husband and a wife, we don't compete. We complete. I'm not behind him and I'm not in front of him and I'm not above him. I am beside him. And one day I was really, really praying that God, what do you want from this marriage to be? I have gift and you give me a lot of gifts. What do you want me to do? And my gifts are different than his gift. So why he's leading and I'm not? Why he's doing all this and I'm not? And I was struggling. I was too prideful and young in my walk with God. And then God told me, you know why? Because I want you to serve him with the gift that I gave you. Would you accept it? And I said, yes, Lord. I must decrease and he must increase. And that's why the unity that we have in our marriage is affecting. We have a healthy marriage. We have a healthy house. And we have a healthy leadership, not because we are so smart, but because we have obeyed the role that God is giving us and try to live in obedience to his leadership.
Amen. Thank you. Stay beside me, my wife. That's why she mentioned a bit about the second generation. And actually, we're so encouraged in the Middle East. Not only the second, the third, and the fourth generation is coming up. And we are spreading this spirit of let us decrease and let them increase. It's so nice. I don't know how many times you've experienced the tears of joy. When you sit there, last week my son was preaching and I'm sitting there and I'm crying. But I love these tears of joy. When you sit there, it's amazing when you can walk the generation while you're alive, training them how to do it. Not when you die and then they are figuring out who's going to lead the church, who's going to do this and that. Do it while you're living and you're going to see an incredible unity, incredible blessing. The most important thing I think we should learn, especially as disciples, if you want to serve more and be more influential and be more effective in the church, in your community, make sure you know what you shouldn't do. It's more than you should know what you should do. You know, what is not my role? You know your role, know your gifts, and have this humble heart. God, you can use me anywhere in anything I do. Just make sure that that your spirit is in me and you are actually working through me. That's why it should be less of me and more of Jesus. That's why ask yourself, when you are out there in your colleges, with your colleagues at work, with your family, when you're talking, when you're sharing about your church, is it less of you and more of Jesus? Or it's about you and about your church? And so many times we even do this with other churches or with other people around us. Who is highlighted? Who's getting the glory? Is it you or Jesus in you? Because that's what's going to make all the difference. You know, he must increase, I must decrease. You know, I believe every Christian leader should have this attitude. And when I say a leader, I mean every disciple. Because every disciple leads his life, leads his path with Jesus. Every Christian leader should have this attitude towards not only the church, not only the ministries, not only the roles. Why he's doing that, I'm not doing this. You know what? It's been given to you. Go use what's been given to you. Ask people around you, what do you think I can do? Have a good quiet time before you want to listen to the answers. Because, you know, you need to be ready. You need to be ready. You know, in the end of the day, you know, we go and we have this sin of competition. Sin of like, this church is growing more than, even in our movement, even our churches. This leader is doing that. This leader have these titles. Who cares? We're all going, guys. You know, it's all about, what I love about John the Baptist, he didn't close his church when Jesus came. He didn't retire. He continued doing what he's doing. And Jesus continued. And you know what? The timing for him, who decided it? God. It was sad how it happened, but it's planned. Everything is planned. So that's why, you know, just focus on Jesus and don't worry. He will take care of your legacy, of your inheritance, of whatever. It's in the end of the day. It's spiritual. It's in heaven and not here. That's why I'm trying to go a bit fast because of the time. I think I already passed the time. Okay. You're not the focus of attention. You are just the best man. Who is the most important person in a wedding? Even though the Bible say the groom, but it's the bride. Come on, guys. So that's a bit of different theology here. But that's the reality, okay? So John was like, imagine you're standing in the wedding, okay? Who is the most important person? The bride, you know, the best man or the groom? The best man is standing there watching his best friend getting married. Can you imagine the feelings? I hope he's the right best man. He's not jealous and not envying him. And I don't know what's going on in there. But if he's the right person he chose there, the minute he speaks, each time his friends say anything to his bride, he's so joyful in his heart. That's what actually John the Baptist said. Say, I'm so happy. Finally, I saw the groom. Finally, I saw Jesus. And it's amazing when he say the groom, because it just shows us that clearly he's talking about Jesus, who represents God in the New Testament. Because if you look in the Old Testament, he always talks about God, who's the groom of Israel, and about Jesus, who's the groom of the church. And that shows this incredible unity between God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. That's another side point. But you know what? That's why, how much are we happy when someone is blessed, when someone is used, when someone is bringing people to Jesus, when someone is being used to sing with incredible voices this morning, how much we pray for them, we're happy for them. That's why, brothers and sisters, we should remember our role, our gift, and use it. If we all use it together in unity, we will have an incredible church. We will have an incredible body of Christ. That's why he goes, the one who comes from above is above all. Jesus came from above. You know, John the Baptist said, let me tell you guys, I'm earthly. I just came from here. Jesus came from above. Remember who he is. We have to remember, we have to remind ourselves. It's all about who came from above. He's over all. He's over everything. And so many times we get so focused about the highlight of us. Do people, when they look at you, do they see Jesus in the way you talk, in the way you work, in the way you drive, in your marriage, in the way you raise your children and take care of them? Do they see Jesus? I had a great chat with Mark coming in here, and he dropped us. I appreciate his heart. And Mark was asking a bit about how to reach out to Muslims. I said, the problem is not in them. The problem is in us. They can't see people who look like Jesus. Who will convert them? When they cannot see the Bible lived, they see Christians who are actually not Christians. They are no longer Christians. That's not Christianity. We need to show them Jesus and the Bible. How? In our life. And that's very important to show in our life. That's why, you know, he testifies about what he has seen and heard, yet no one receives his testimony. The one who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. Me and you, when we declare God by accepting this testimony of Jesus, we're declaring this in our life. We're declaring this to people around us. We're declaring this to our families, our colleagues. But we can only declare it in our attitude. And that's what John the Baptist. How do you think his disciples reacted after John shared what he shared? After his humility. They were so joyful. They continued doing what they are doing. And God was blessing the church day after day. That's why, brothers and sisters, you know, put the focus. The Holy Spirit, he goes, he gave Jesus the Holy Spirit without measures. That's why John the Baptist reminded the disciples. He goes, me and you, we have the Holy Spirit in measures. But Jesus have it without measures. Jesus made all this difference. The one who believes in the Son has eternal life. But the one who rejects the Son will not see life. Instead, God's wrath remains on me. It's amazing how he ends John 3. You look at all these encouraging news, all this baptism, all these ministries, and he goes, you will have life if you believe in him. But if you don't, if you reject, you actually will not have that eternal life. And this is something, believing in Jesus, living Jesus, imitating Jesus. I don't know how much me and you these days, we actually believe in the eternal life. I don't know if somebody remind you, but I want to remind you, our life on earth have expiry date. What's going to happen after this? Jesus and our belief in him decides this. And this makes all the difference. That's why rejecting Jesus is rejecting your only living hope. You know, in the end, he goes, he just reminds us in John 4, he goes, actually, Jesus wasn't baptizing. It was his disciples. So if you go back to the beginning, the lie of Satan to John's disciples, he goes, look, Jesus is baptizing. He even brought lies to the disciples. Jesus was not baptizing. He was together with all his disciples and they were baptizing all over. Just like what it happened in Matthew 4, Satan will always bring lies to bring disunity into the church. You know, in John 3, and actually John 3, it's an amazing chapter that I encourage you. Last week you heard the first part, now the second part. I encourage you to go back and focus on these four, I call it the musts of chapter 3. Four musts. So important, so deep, but so true. The sinner's must, you must be born again. You must, brothers and sisters, if you're visiting, I don't know where you're at. But you know what? Give a chance to Jesus and the Bible to change your life. Study the Bible. And I'm so encouraged. I heard today one of the sisters getting baptized today. Bless you. What a blessing. Give a chance, because if you're not born again, you will not have that promise of eternal life. The Saviors must, so the Son must, the Son of Man must be lifted up. He had no choice. That was meant from the beginning. He must go to the cross, sacrifice for me and you. That's what he did. That's his love. And the sovereigns must, he must increase. And me and you, the servant must always increase. Let us remember, brothers and sisters, wherever you go out there, remember it's not me and you. Do people see Jesus in my life, in my walk, in my talk? And that's what's going to change their life. Thank you so much.
Information about our ministry, please visit thewestsidechurch.com or laicc.net. You're listening to the Westside Podcast, a part of the LA International Church of Christ family of churches, worshiping God in LA since 1989.